doesn't it? It's good. Good to hear and good to see and I guess in a different way touch what God is doing in our midst, through us as a community of believers and in the community to which he has called us. This morning as we turn our thoughts now to this passage from James, for those that are visiting, we've been working our way through James and been looking at James in the context of community. And today as we come to this passage in the second half of James, chapter 3, you go, well, why haven't we picked up on that verse about the mustard tree or something like that? Well, I think it's very pertinent as we work our way through and understand community. And these verses are very applicable to the work and the ministry of the mustard tree as they are applicable to the life and the ministry of the church in community. And I hope that becomes evident for you as we work our way through these few verses this morning. So James starts off and he says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. Prove it by living an honourable life. See, I love this about James. James is very black and white. At the beginning, we talk about, in the beginning of James, we see you either draw close to God through persecution and difficulty in life and your faith is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened in a way that draws you into God's presence. You understand God's love and God's sovereignty, God's power and might. And even in the midst of difficult times, you can rest in God because you understand who he is. That is faith in action. That is faith that is strengthened by life's journey and life's difficulties. Or the other option James gives you is you move away from God. The life drives you away from God. And it proves that your faith is weak and it proves that your faith doesn't give you any security or hope. So in reality, your faith is not faith at all. James later talks in chapter 2 about true religion, faith that actually is seen, that is evident in our actions and our words. And in that part of chapter 2, James talks about God. True religion is religion that drives you from the innermost part of your being to care for those that are on the outermost edges, the fringes of society, such as orphans and widows, is what he puts in there. This is faith that is alive. This is faith that means something. This is faith that is true. This is faith that honours God. Can someone, I've done this a little while ago and I meant to do it this morning. My throat is going, Scott's going to get me a glass of water. Sorry to do this. I nearly did it before and then I stuck, well, up there and Leslie's out there in creche. So I did, thank you, Scott. I'm almost without voice. I'm sorry. So we pick this up. We talk about James in the sense of community. We talk about James in the sense of faith, which is made real in the adversities of life. We talk about faith that is made real and seen and evidenced through our actions and our words. Last week, we talked about our tongue as being the thing that actually directs and controls our whole life, our whole being. Our tongue has the capacity to praise God and to worship him, and it has the capacity to draw us away and curse God. We talked about the fact that the tongue, although it's small, like the ship's rudder, can actually steer us through difficult times. And like the bit in the mouth of a horse, it can direct our lives. And again, James has no grey in his letter. It is either this way or it is that way. Thank you, Scott. Oh, just water, no cordial? Do you think so? Oh, I don't know. Sorry about that. Thanks, Scott. So we pick it up again. So James is very black and white. It is either you are for God, your faith is proved and evidenced in the way you live, in the way you speak, and what comes out of us is evidence of who we are in God or not. And in last week, as we looked at that, James then uses a couple of other analogies towards the passage last week. He talks about a well or a spring. Can it give fresh water and salt water at the same time? The answer is no, of course it can't. And so he says, you're either salty or you are fresh. It's one or the other when it comes to James. It's one or the other when you talk about faith. It's one or the other when you talk about community of God. You can't sit on the fence and waver one way or the other. Earlier in James, he said, if you do that, you are lost. And your faith is hopeless and your faith is meaningless to you and therefore meaningless to those that are around you. So we come to these few verses in chapter 3. And he says, if you are wise and if you understand God's way, prove it. Let me see your faith. Prove it by living an honourable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. Now, most of you know that we've got 6 children. And if you've got children, you might be able to identify with this story. We had a bit of a routine when it was time to go to bed. Teeth, toilet, bed. It's a good pattern, isn't it? Because if you don't do that, see, there's no glass of water in there. Thanks, God. Because, you know, that's going to be out of bed every 5 minutes. Teeth, toilet, bed. Well, our kids would shoot down to the bathroom and be back in 2 seconds and ready for bed. And we would say, have you cleaned your teeth? And they would say? No, they would say yes. And you think to yourself, there's no way that you have had time to clean your teeth. So you would say, let me smell your breath. No toothpaste. No toothpaste. See, James is saying the same thing here. He's saying, if you're wise and understand God's way, let me smell your breath and see what it stenches. Is it of peace and love and generosity, or is it selfish and manward? Let me see it. Let me smell it. Let me hear it. Let me feel it. Is your faith alive or is your faith dead? And James says, show me, prove it in what you do, in your actions of humility. And today we have a sense of humility which is weak. A sense of humility is something which is a broken person. But James is talking about humility like Christ. Even though he was God himself, humbled himself. He came willing to serve. This humility is a strength of character which enables us in the midst of adversity and the midst of life to come alongside others with a humility that's a humbleness, a gentleness, a meekness, not a weakness, not a shame, but a strength of humility, of character, which reflects the character of Christ himself. This is what James says, show me your faith, show me your wisdom, and be humble as Christ was humble in all he did. But then he finishes this first part of verse 1 by, that comes from wisdom. See, James is on the bandwagon about wisdom. What's wisdom when it comes to James? What is wisdom? If you don't understand this, and we've already talked about this in previous weeks, if we don't understand what James is talking about by wisdom, we will just get caught up in the idea of intellect, intelligence. But James is talking about wisdom that is based on a biblical model. Wisdom like we find in the other wisdom literature of the Old Testament, which would be one of those books of a number, is Proverbs. We find these words in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and on. Let the wise person listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables. The words of the wise and their riddles. Then verse 7 says this. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And then right through Proverbs and the other wisdom literature, we find that wisdom is coming to know God. Wisdom is drawing close to God. Wisdom is experiencing God. Wisdom is growing in our understanding of who God is, what he does, and what he expects of us. So when James says, let me see your faith in action. Let me see that you are wise in your humility and doing good works. Base them on a wisdom that shows your understanding of who God is, what God does, and what God expects of his people. And then in the next few verses, James frames it up. He gives us a negative view and a positive view. See, there is no in-between with James, and there should be no in-between with us. Verse 14 says this, "So this is not wisdom." All right? This isn't wisdom. "But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual and demonic." Aren't they harsh words? They are earthly. They have no connection with heavenly things. They are unspiritual. They have no connection with God's spirit. And they are demonic. They work against the things of God's kingdom and God's intentions. "For wherever there is jealousy, wherever there is selfish ambition, there you will find disorder, evil of every kind." That's a pretty awful picture, isn't it? You've got this on one hand. We do it the way of man, and we do it the way of man, it will look messy. It will be disorderly and it will be evil of every kind. So you might go, no, there is good in man. Yes, there is good in man. Yes, we see evidence of God's image throughout the world in generosity and kindness, which may not necessarily be attached to the church or people of God. Yet the wisdom that James is talking about, the wisdom that James is trying to inculcate into the life and the ministry of the church, is a wisdom that drives people to God as it drives us to God. And then he describes what wisdom does look like. But wisdom from above is first of all pure. What he's talking about in this sense of pure wisdom is a wisdom which is acceptable to God. Well, that's kind of like a bit of a no-brainer. You think if it comes from above, that sense of position where God is above and we have that image of hell is below, we know that's not really true. But that language helps us to understand if God is above and these things come down from God, they are pure, they are right, they are perfect in every way. And therefore, this wisdom that James talks about is acceptable to God, as opposed to all those other attributes which are unacceptable to God. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Loves peace. I think the human heart likes to have an argument. It likes to have a fight at the drop of a pin. Gentle at all times. Gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. I don't think gentleness and yielding to others are common or easy attributes for us to accept. And they are clearly things that the Spirit of God enables in us as He transforms our lives. So it is full of mercy and the fruits of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Now remember, these words were written not to the op shop. So James didn't say, "Dear Lilydale Baptist Church, Mustard Tree Op Shop." When he wrote these words, he wrote them to the dispersed Jews, those from the Jewish faith who had come to know Christ as their Lord and Saviour. He wrote this to communities that were perhaps, that he was aware of, that he had pastored, that were breaking, that weren't quite functioning the way they were. So as he writes these words, he writes them to wrap his arms around those that he already knows potentially, to wrap his arms around them, encourage them and build them up in the faith to be strong and draw close to God and let their lives and their practices be evidence of God's grace, God's love, God's gentleness and God's mercy in all their deeds, not just on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, but every day of the week in every moment. So he sets this up in such a way. And then he says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." First of all, I want us to think of these words speaking to us here at Lilydale Baptist Church, and then we'll let that kind of like spill out, hopefully, into the mustard tree a little bit. As a community that we, as we gather, and we've been trying to define that word community a little bit over the last 12 months. But we're starting to get in some ways to the nitty-gritty. We are a community of people that have wisdom that draws us to God, a community of people that wisdom reveals God to us, a community of people who embrace God's wisdom and therefore His strength, His encouragement and presence in our life. It's a wisdom that shapes the way we live, the way we deal with others. It's a wisdom that encourages us and controls our tongue in such a way that it praises God and not curses God. It's a wisdom that yields peace and kindness across the board without favoritism. Does that mean I can't have a best friend? Is that what James is saying here? No, he's not. He's saying that it doesn't matter who it is, you will be gentle, kind, loving, merciful, always. Of course I can have a best friend. Of course I can. But my friendship with one should not disadvantage another. That's what it means when community is in action, a community that is being wise according to the wisdom of Scripture. Well then, now the mustard tree's turn. You're going to cop it now. So you see, as a community grows, and we talked about the pouring out of fresh water or salty water, okay? What has flowed out of the life and the ministry of Lilydale Baptist Church has become visible and evident in the ministry and the life of the mustard tree. It is a community that is wise in that it knows God. It is a community in wisdom that shows love and grace and mercy to all. It is a community where God's name is lifted up and God's presence is made evident in what we do and what we say and what we believe. And that will reap a harvest of righteousness as we plant seeds of peace. The mustard tree is a ministry that plants seeds of peace into the lives of many. And it is a ministry that is reaping a harvest of righteousness as people come and engage with the people of God. Where's the evidence of that, you might say? Well, over the years, we have baptized a few folk out of the mustard tree. But sometimes I think we just have to trust God that He is sovereign, that God is working in the lives of the folk that we meet. As Judy has already said, there are many stories, and we need to find time to tell more of those stories about what God is doing in that place. But this morning as I chatted with Liz, where's Liz? Thank you, Liz. Liz said it's all right to share this. And forgive me if I get this wrong, if I paraphrase it in a way that doesn't quite capture. She's a nice, gracious, kind lady. Lots of mercy. Thank you. Liz said something like this. She was having a conversation with another family member and she mentioned she was going to church. And they were a bit surprised at that. And then Liz went on to talk a little bit more about the mustard tree and what it has meant to her in the context of faith and coming closer to God. The mustard tree has been an environment that has exposed Liz to a new encounter of Jesus and of God and of faith. It has rekindled her hope in God and rekindled her faith in the church. This is the work of good deeds that is reaping a harvest of righteousness. This is one story that we have heard. This is one story that we know. As pastor, I want to commend the work of the mustard tree to us as a congregation, as a pastor, and as a friend of many of you that are involved in the mustard tree, I want to encourage you and thank you for the service, the time, the effort that you give. But most of all, I want to give you thanks for the faith, the hope, and the wisdom that you express in the way you operate and continue to encounter people in the name of God through grace, love, and mercy. Seeds of peace that reap a harvest of righteousness. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? And God has chosen us to partner with Him, not just overseas, but God has chosen us to partner with him in Lilydale, day in, day out, reaching out to others that they might experience the salt, light and hope that the gospel, the good news brings to all. Let us pray. Father God,